stories, teachings, and guidance. Welcome to the Women's Moon Wisdom Podcast with your host, Rebecca Rankin.
Welcome back to the Women's Moon Wisdom Podcast, where we delve into the depths of holistic wellness and personal growth to empower women all around the world. I'm your host, Rebecca Rankin, and today we have a special guest with us who's going to guide us through the transformative power of gene keys. Gene keys offer just profound insights into ourselves that can really unlock the secrets of our purpose, our potential, and our well-being. So join me in welcoming Catherine Mason, a Gene Keys expert, as we explore how this revolutionary system can empower women on their journey to self-discovery and fulfillment. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Catherine. So tell us just a little bit about yourself, like your backgrounds.
I guess I'll start just from the gene keys, since that's like our meeting point. I first found the gene keys probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I'm from Texas. I went to school in Massachusetts, a women's college called Wellesley, and it's right outside of Boston. And when I finished my schooling there, I graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Cinema and Media Studies, which is all about communication, cultures. It's an interdisciplinary major that also studies media, the internet, how that affects and impacts society. And when I was finished with school, I was ready to like do a lot of internal digging and deep diving and wanted to just kind of expand out in the world. I was like, ooh, can I be a researcher and figure out like what this society thing is all about? I was pretty tired after college too. So I thought, I don't want to just go into corporate America. So I decided to be a nanny, which it was like a sort of like a happenstance kind of thing, right? It's mm-hmm. like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do now for work. All I know is that I want to do like self-healing, but I need to work. So I did that. And while there, though, I started finding these different communities within Boston. I found one through a church that we met in their basement. And it was called, do you know Rumi the Poet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the guest house poem that, for listeners, if you do know it or if you don't know it, just a reminder, is all about inviting, making a room for every single part of you and, you know, greeting them at the door with joy, no matter who it is. And the group was really about emotional understanding, because like we really don't have that much emotional education. And I think things are increasing in that direction, but this was probably like 2018. So I got involved with that group, and it was like a weekly group where we did a bunch of different exercises, but I met a woman who we started working one-on-one together. She was like a healer. I was just very fascinated and open to anybody and anything. I grew up in the Christian church, but had a lot of unique experiences around that, to where, you know, my faith in Texas and then my faith in Boston and how the faiths were so different. And it was a very, very big story, which is for another time. But the meeting that woman, she was the first person who taught me about gene keys. She was just really like quite a go-getter. Like, she somehow got people in the MIT graduate school community to let her create a course about purpose, which to me is just so foundationally amazing, because mm-hmm. like all that those topics were not, it's super scientific, right? So left brain. And so I was so impressed by her to be able to just be like, I think she worked before her MIT days, she worked maybe did like Goldman Sachs. She was like in that corporate mm-hmm. like world. So she had those, you know, those tools with her. So that's important. But nonetheless, Yeah, so to get to where we are now, it's only been the past 1.5 years that I've really dove into Gene Keys, because the truth is that, they are really, really powerful. And also there's a place of like wanting to be ready for them in some ways, because, they require the skill of of space and being able to to notice what another person might say and be like, okay, this is what resonates with me. And then maybe taking a word that if it hits wrong or hits weird, maybe bringing it in the conversation with another person to get a better perspective. Because I'm of the belief that if something doesn't feel resonant or doesn't feel right, then you haven't gotten enough information around it, because the truth is good. Like even the shadow, there's someone like it's good. So just keep digging if you want to get to that. It's an invitation.
I love that. Thanks for sharing your journey with the Gene
Yeah,
Keys
it's
this far.
so wild. Yeah,
I
definitely.
love it. I love it. Do you I guess for some of our listeners, my guess is that they are curious about what the Gene Keys are. So can you briefly explain just what gene keys are and in a way like how they may differ from astrology or anything, because it does like involve your place of birth, your time of birth. So maybe just how they differ in approaches from either traditional personal growth or self-discovery modalities, even like astrology in general.
Yes, totally. Which I do want to say, side note, I learned I love this astrologer named Chani Nicholas, and
Oh
she,
yeah.
of course, yeah,
Oh
in
yeah.
her is she has this like disclaimer where she says, please give this space. Like, give yourself the space to constantly like rediscover what these things mean, because they have so many angles, and like let them hit you as they do. So I kind of want to add that in, because that is a perspective that can be brought to astrology, because some people think of it as like, I don't know if surfacey is really the word, but like, oh, it's like these personality traits. But that being said, Gene Keys is this wisdom that came to a man named Richard Rudd, and it's really new. Like, I was like doing a little more research, and I was like, no wonder people haven't heard of it. It's based on ancient wisdom of the I Ching, but the system came to this individual man. One day he woke up in a state of enlightenment. And he was in like living in England in this little cottage on the coast of England, like very quiet. And he woke up in this enlightened state, and it lasted for 3 days. And during that time, he just downloaded this wisdom and just was like writing it out and got it out. But in his words, the prima materia, so the basis is the I Ching. And the I Ching is from 4th century China. And it is a system of, it's really about like how many combinations of yin and yang can we create with these, and it ends up being 64 hexagrams. So I think there's six lines. So what are the combinations we can create? And the yang line is a single line, and the yin line, which is like feminine energy, is a separated line. So yes, the Gene Keys were a download for this to this man. He really emphasizes that they're not about knowledge, that they're about wisdom, which means that it's not new learning anything new about yourself, but it's drawing yourself out. And it's really about the untapped potential in all people, that we have incredible, like we have so much. Like, we don't even understand what we're capable of. But it does involve learning how to hold and move through the shadow, and realizing that the shadow is actually the fuel. The only way we can get to the gold is by going through the shadow. It's not a bad thing. It's just sort of like how nature is, like the cyclical life and death, life and death, life and death kind of thing. So, Yeah, it's different. I was just thinking is that it gives a sort of a spiritual language, which I find really, really validating around maybe like personal role that astrology doesn't quite do. So it's a different perspective on the same you, but it is just using different language and going a little bit deeper and more personal.
Yeah, thank you so much for that share. I feel like it's like such a it's like such a contemplative practice, right? Like it's like you sit with these like tokens, and you know you can look at your first I don't know like your genius one or whatever, like the different keys that within your own birth chart, and you can just sit with one and contemplate that and what it means to you. Which, and I see how you're saying that, like juxtaposition that between like Western astrology, and you're looking at like, okay, what does my sun mean? What does my rising mean? And how can I interpret that? Whereas this is more just like, here's this nugget, like how does it land? I mean, you can take that lens, I'd say, with any with Western astrology too. Yet this is like, it's very overt, like this is a contemplative practice.
Yes, exactly. It's defined by that feature.
Yeah. Now I'd love to like shift a little bit about, you know, using the gene keys. I feel like so many women we struggle with self-confidence, self-worth. Like, how do you feel that the gene keys can help women cultivate just a deeper sense of like self-acceptance, deeper sense of self-love?
The a really big validating feature of in the gene keys is actually the shadow feature, which it also can, I heard someone say, you're only meant to focus on the shadow 10%, and then 90% is to be focused on the gift. So I think that's an important piece to add in. One of the ways is validating is because we find out that everybody has these shadows. We find out that like literally everybody has this same sort of path to walk on. Doesn't matter if you were born male, if you were born female, if you were, born in a gender that you don't identify with anymore, like none of that matters. We all have this spiritual rubric lesson plan that we came for. And a big part of I was thinking about that word confidence because I did like study. I remember I read a book about it, and they mentioned like their study concluded that confidence comes from action, which I thought was really interesting because that tends to not be a lot of feminine modality. Like that first impulse is towards action, and so I think that that is interesting. But self-worth. It's an incredibly healing. I mean, just yesterday I was crying as I was listening to mine because you can listen to or buy a book and learn more about it. The first when you if you go to genekeys.com and get a free profile, the first thing that will say was like my life's work. And so one of the things that's powerful about that is how much it resonates. You'll be like, oh my God, like for me it was like I've known this about myself my whole life, but it was just really healing to have it written out, like to hear someone say like, oh yeah, that's why you're here. And in terms of self-worth, yeah, it that's literally its goal, I think, is to remind you to remember about every part of you and even, the parts that are challenging. They're stated out loud. And I think, the way it is laid out, I kind of have, it is based on like the contemplation, right? It's like that's going to be what comes through the space or the gaps in silence. So that it's a bigger system than it's just like written down. It's like connected to everything. So that's where self-worth comes from, is being connected to all that is when we're in that presence there is no question. And that's like what it eventually leads to is it has. So I was thinking about pulling up a chart, like a fake chart to like to show, because it's kind of like there's a lot to it. But basically, every quality has multiple frequencies. There's like the frequency of fear, and then there's the frequency of the gift, and then there's the frequency of the city, which is like the highest version of you. And so I think that the goal is not to always be in the city, but to understand the purpose of every frequency. Like, and so you can have self-compassion for yourself, realizing that you chose that part too. And I mean, it is self-development. So, you know, I really think like creating space, I even thought about like, I've brought it into conversations with my therapist and with friends, and just because it is so like, it can be really direct. Like you're just like, ooh, like,
yes.
it like I've like left heavy, you know, but there is space for, you know, giving yourself time to process information. Because I think sometimes for me, when I start feeling bad, it usually is because I'm taking on the opinion of another person. So it's like, okay, thank you. All right, I'm going to keep living my life. So just letting it work on you. But if it's not helpful, like putting it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. You had mentioned that, like, even just like when when you look at your chart and you read or listen to the description of that particular, I guess, key, I don't know if that's what what's called, but how deeply you're like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, I feel so seen, right? So validating. You're like, yes, this is put into words how I feel. Like, yeah. I was just, before our call, I was like, well, I'm going to look at my chart again just to like refresh my memory. And I was like, oh yeah. Like just seeing like, oh yeah, my genius is like the initiative, like that. Yes, I see that. Like, and it's, it is, it's so validating. And then you can recognize, oh, that's like the, like you phrase it as those different frequencies, like kind of the lower, let's say like lower self, the
right,
the highest, right. And you're like, oh yeah, I can see how this plays out in these certain ways. A few times you've mentioned about the concept of the shadow and the gifts. Could you give a, like, explain a little bit about that to our listeners, and how understanding those concepts can really help you embrace our shadow side and then therefore lead to more personal transformation and even feel like empowered?
The greatest amount of energy that we have as people is when all parts of ourselves are like together. Right. It's like if any part of us is like, no, I don't really want to do that, then there's going to be like some resistance. And then some of the energy of the psyche will go to that part, you know, because we are along our life path, we have experiences that everybody does. I think it's just like what life is that, you know, we come and we're like whole babies, but then we have all these experiences that might kind of, create little cracks so that we separate ourselves, become separate, because there's so many varieties of experiences. So the shadow though are the parts of you that maybe were rejected or that are not fully conscious. And the reason that we like to focus on them is because usually the reason that we're stuck is because of and not having attention for that part, because it has a lot of wisdom. So, and it has the energy that you need to move forward. So, I guess the power of, I mean, just an example would be, sitting with yourself and, you know, allowing whoever has resistance within yourself to come forward. And he's asking them, you know, what do you need? And how, is there anything that you need, want to communicate to me? And listening to them, and then knowing that you know, your highest self or God or whatever concept of some power or knowledge that's infinite above you, that you can let that higher self meet the need of your, of this quote unquote shadow self. And the term is from Carl Jung. He was a psychologist in maybe the 1800s, but he came up with, he was like right alongside Freud, like maybe 10 or 15 years after. And he said, okay, like I see you about the subconscious, like desires are suppressed, you know, but yeah, the shadow is really about like the things that are not conscious for us. And when you first get your gene key profile, it will show you your genius. He calls them algorithms. And he says that, you know, we are the original technology that, and these are, the algorithm is sort of like how all these parts of us connect in order to cause a reaction of action, power, beingness out in the world. And an interesting thing that I heard him say, and the reason it's called gene keys, is because he believes that like it is within our genetic framework. He, for every gene key, there's a amino acid that goes with it. And like those amino acids allow for the experience of our beingness in the world.
So fascinating.
Yeah, it's really wild. So, but the gift, okay, so this person's gift, my deepest purpose in life is to manifest the gift of naturalness. To realize my purpose, I need to transform the shadow of self-obsession. So within the shadow of self-obsession already exists the gift of naturalness. And I've really been feeling like, you know, as we keep working, like you do like shed away some of the shadow and like come into more of your gift as you integrate. But I don't know if I think that the goal is to be completely in the gift. But that's just my thought, just because I think we want to see all of these frequencies as like, you know, God does not look at humanity and say, this is bad, that's good. You know, just
right.
Like anything, God saw that it was good. All of it, everything, completely, which is wild. So that's just a human thing to be like, that's bad, that's good. You know, so
I like that. So the shadow is not necessarily a negative aspect of yourself. It is just a way to, in a way, like a fuel to move you forward, right? It's a thing to help you, like maybe even your ability to see more of yourself through the gift lens because of the aspect of this, the duality of the two, right? The opposition of the two.
Yes. Totally. And I think sometimes it's so funny how we learn. It's like, sometimes we learn by like blessing, and then other times we didn't get the memo. And so it has to get louder. And I feel like that's kind of, if we don't, then the shadow ends up being like that, that really loud piece that allows us to be like, okay, like I can't live like this anymore. Like, let me try something else. And then like we can get back to like alignment, which in that peaceful place, I think our gifts naturally sort of come forward.
Yeah. And I, this kind of leads way into my next question I have for you is that is kind of along the lines of finding balance. I feel like in our modern culture, and I'll speak to women just because that's most of our listeners are women, and this podcast is called the Women's Moon Wisdom. I feel like a lot of us juggle many different roles, like so many different responsibilities in a way we're just doing all the things, and which often then the result is burnout. The result is exhaustion. How do you feel that the gene keys can really help offer women this ability to find balance, right? To reclaim energy, to step into these aspects that will bring more vitality to ourselves.
Yeah, I think my first response is, you know, recall that, you know, I would say like, okay, I want to see your chart, you know, I want to see your gene keys. Cause a lot of times like our specific brand of chaos is like found in that shadow.
Yeah.
It's like, oh wow. Like, yeah, I do try to do that. Or yeah, I do have a fear of this thing. But the underneath, there's a very powerful piece within the gene key profile, and it's 1, 2, 3. Okay, it's the third one down, and it's called my radiance.
Yeah.
And in the radiance is some insight about your specific body and how you might, something that you need. So for me personally, I need a lot of physical activity. Like my body has to be like physically challenged on a daily basis, which is kind of intense, but but it's just like, oh, that's what it is. And I say that because I think what I've been learning recently this past year and a half is how different people can be. And the truth, like burnout, you know, I read a book not related to gene keys, but it's like called Burnout. And they talk about it in a cool way, which is about thinking about stress cycles, and that we need to, the reason that we get burnout is because we don't complete these stress cycles, which are, you know, the way they describe it is like, imagine that you're being chased by a lion and your body fills up with adrenaline, and say like, what used to happen would be like, you would kill it. Then you would bring the body back to your village and everyone would like celebrate with you. And then the stress cycle was complete, right? Mm-hmm. The initiation in the body. And then it's like, okay, woohoo, we celebrate. And that celebration is so good for, ah, I'm better. I'm back to, yep, you know, to calm. But these days, so what would happen though, if somebody were to have shot that tiger or that lion after you saw it, your body was flooded with adrenaline, but someone else did the work. So then you still have all of this energy in your body to do the deed, but you can't, it's already happened. So a part of what would help is if you still carry it back and you still celebrate, and that will help. But I bring that up because part of like the burnout thing, I think, is relatively consistent for all bodies, which is like exercise, creativity, sex, breathing, anything that like gets you moving or celebrating, dancing. There's a lot of different ways to complete the cycle, but I think your gene key might have something to do with your specific brand. So hers is says, the more love I feel for the people in my life, the more it changes, like it allows myself, true self, to come forward. And so that would just be, and I think there's also within her thing, there was something about like also holding on to emotions. So just being like using all of the information in your chart to be like, what do I need to do? And a lot of times, like, you're already going to know, because that's, again, that's the thing. It's like, it just draws out what's already true. So you can be like, you know, that's always been true for me. I just haven't given it the weight that it deserves, you know, like, oh, that's actually cool. That's a fact. So, yeah.
Yeah. Great. I love that. I love that you can look at your own chart to under like better solidify and validate.
Yes.
Maybe something you're already feeling and knowing, mm-hmm. but it gives you that validation of like, oh yeah, like I do need, like for you, I do need to move my body every day. I'm feeling burnout. I'm feeling exhausted. Mm-hmm. Because I haven't been prioritizing this aspect of my self-care, which is running, dancing, whatever it is. And and I love that the gene keys can help kind of remind you, right? Uh-huh. That reflection point for you to tap into, oh yeah, this is the best way for me to care for myself. Next, I want to talk a little bit about, so the gene keys also delve into the concept of purpose and destiny. How can we use this framework to really uncover like our unique gifts, maybe even feel a way to align with like our deeper sense of purpose?
What's really beautiful about both like astrology and Gene Keys and other systems where they are studying who you are based on your birth time and your location is that everything that you see in the chart existed from the moment you took your first breath, which is just, I mean, like, in the Chani book, she has like a book called You Were Born for This. She mentions even within, I think, moons, like different signs, she'll be like, did you have a parent or a caregiver that was like this and this and this? And it's like, that's interesting. Are you saying that I knew like that before I even had these experiences that, you know, we all might call like trauma or like, you know, we have these painful misinterpretations of experiences that cause us to feel like we're not enough, right, as kids. But what is really interesting is how you're from the moment you're born, doesn't matter like who you're born to, what they do, what they don't do, you had this like blueprint already set up, and a lot of it already includes the ways you might be hurt. Which I think is just so fascinating. Like if we think about like destiny and fate and all of that, because so much is already, maybe not like, oh, that has to happen. It, like sort of like, you know, Sleeping Beauty, like the curse was on Sleeping Beauty and they were like, oh, we'll just hide all of the spinning things with the needle and then she won't get pricked. But it was meant for her to for it to happen. Therefore, nothing could have kept it away from her. And so we can think about Gene Keys, astrology, all of that in the same way of like, the pricking thing is the way that you get to the things you want. Mm-hmm. It's the way that you get to the person you want to be. It's the way that you get to experience who you've always known yourself to be. So I think your destiny is very much put out in the Gene Keys of like, here's where you are. And it's always that beautiful mystery of like, wow, like, yeah, I get that. But also like, this feels like a paradox. Like all these, like, wait, but I have that, but I have this, but like, how does that? And I think that that's where, one, we need each other. Two, we need to connect something bigger than ourselves and also surrender to mystery. You know, like, yeah, there is a lot of information there. And well, he likes this, that guy, Richard Rudd, was saying wisdom. But the, yeah, there's a lot to process, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's up to you, I guess, if like you believe in fate. I have mixed thoughts. I think it's probably both, like, you know, holding the black and the white at the same time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That thought that the moment you take your first breath, the stars are where they're at, the planets are where they're at. Like, this is like the map of your path ahead in this life. And while it can feel like, you know, it's like, I don't necessarily want to say like free will, but it's like, you know, mm-hmm. how it unfolds may be mm-hmm. different depending on the choices you make, yet mm-hmm. you may still come across these hurdles, these challenges mm-hmm. in your life, mm-hmm. and not because it's meant to be hard, but it's mm-hmm. meant to get you to get you further along your path of personal growth, of self-discovery, of just growth in that, you know, spiritual aspect too. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. kind of a beautiful way to look at the twists and turns that life's journey has for us and the mm-hmm. mystery of it all too. Yet like, mm-hmm. in a way you're like, yeah, is it mysterious? You know, like in a way it's like, it's saying right here that this is right. like a path of my destiny, but yet it is mystery.
Right. It's like, we might have these, I guess maybe that's kind of what it is. It's like, it's internal. It's like mm-hmm. how, you know, if you've, it's like about like chemistry. It's like one molecule or one atom that touches another atom will, they both will leave changed. Like that kind of thing, like thinking about a human as like a recipe, like they have all these qualities and then they go out into the world and those events are not, you know, some are attracted, some are not, but how you experience them is like that, that unique fingerprint that you have on the world.
Can you share any examples in your life, personally, personal examples of how like the gene keys have just had a profound impact, maybe either guiding you in your purpose or even with clients or people that you've worked with? I'd love to just hear like a personal share of the impact of the gene keys.
Right. Immediately, I definitely have a lot from my own. I immediately just thought of my friend who one of in her gene keys, it talks about how her life is meant to be a circle and that she needs very much to complete everything that she starts and that it will always be cycling in these sort of like mirroring ways that like, you know, she'll and that reminds, so she went to school and like grew up as a young person in Tennessee, then moved away. And I guess she played there when she was maybe in middle school or something, but now she's about to go on tour and she's gonna play in the same place that she performed when she was in high school on this tour. And I just, whoa, like that is just like, it has so many moments like that of like, oh my, like the kind of chills, yes, like synchronicity, like, cause that's really a big part of it. And the goal of Gene Keys, the overall overarching goal is this belief that like we're in a new time and we're on the precipice of great transformation, whether it happens in the next 1,000 years or next 50 or 10, like this is it kind of, you know, like, and that the reason that it came, the knowledge came to the world, to this planet, was that its end goal is like synthesis, synarchy, there might be one within us, but the two, synthesis and synarchy, is synthesis is about integration, it's about all parts of you being one, and synarchy is a system where the world no longer has hierarchy, but in which all people, no matter, because some might have different gifts, but doesn't make them more important. And right now, that's not the way things work. I mean, we have to ask questions about self-worth for women because this system is old and outdated and not based on truth, but based on habits, right? And only a higher spiritual contemplative practice can get us out of that. And anyways, but yeah, I loved that when I learned that yesterday, of like synarchy of... because that's what we want. Like matriarchy or patriarchy both don't work because it just, yeah, we want it to be like everyone around. And even those who have authority are not more powerful. Mm-hmm. That's kind of one of the, power is meant to be shared. Like, I don't know if you saw the Wonka movie, but it had, that was like the last message was like, it's, we're meant to share this, you know? So,
I'd love to just like touch on that, just to like, yes, bring it back to something you said at the very beginning. You said like, we all have like, you know, the shadow of the gift. We all have this, not, and knowing that, mm-hmm, like we feel like no one's better or worse. Right. And like, yeah, bringing it back to just that comment of like the synarchy of like, yes, wouldn't it be nice if we all lived in this world where we recognize, oh yeah, like you have gifts. Oh, so do I. You also are no better than me because you also have the shadow side. So do I. And how nice is that to be like, oh, but your gift is this. And so I can see how it's can propel, you know, life and culture in that way. And my gift is this, and this is how it's going to propel culture, life, society in that way. And how profound, I feel like I got chills, right? How profound that would be to live in a, you know, in a culture and a society in a world that we are, you know, you're seen for your totality, your whole, like your wholeness. So thank you for that. I wanted to just like bring it back. I was like, oh, it's so good.
Cool. You actually just said the definition, and I'm really glad
that you said that. I was like, yes, that was it. Because you said, like, everybody is in their right place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool. The highest gift for me would be dynamism. And then but the shadow is provocation, which I've come to learn more that the three, the highest is valor. And then the bottom frequency is control. It goes control, authority, valor. And I guess recently, yesterday, what was causing me to like tear up and stuff was feeling this great validation of like everything I've been like, felt like I was born with, but maybe in my household wasn't seen. Or, you know, it's just like, we're all so different. So it's like really impossible for anyone to be like, yes, that's you, because only you understand what that feels like. But experiencing, like, it was saying that I will, whether I like it or not, I'll be an authority figure in the world. But that, which this is what I loved, was saying, it may not like look like that. Like, it may not be that I actually am like president of the United States, but it will be that just by my presence, things shift. Like, and I've just really noticed that. And I've been like, oh, like, can you just hire me and my presence? Like, cause I've always felt like I make a huge impact in the places I go. But I think that it's not so like our systems of value and all of that are so, you know, kind of whack to where only the people who do it in a certain way get called out. It's like everyone might be very aware that like who I am meant to be and my presence is valuable, but they might not be like, I'm going to pay you X amount for just being here. You know, unless you're like famous or like, you know what I mean? So, but I used to think I was meant to like speak to women in large groups and all of this. But, like, you know, as I look at my chart and as I look at my gene keys, it just keeps being like, yeah, you are.
Like you are right now.
I'm so glad you feel that way because yeah, you are, you know? So I think, and even the struggles, like there's this part in my activation sequence, which you'll see, like the main ones you see are your activation sequence, which is really just like, how do you get there? How do you get free? How do you get into your full self? And one of them is about resourcefulness and like, it's a gift, but also a lot of pain comes with this because I'm constantly needing to be resourceful, which makes me feel like it's my fault. Right? Like that there's not enough, but there's always enough. It's just when you have that gift, it's just like the greatest transformation is like learning to trust that everything is available and that even when it doesn't look like this or that, that as you just live into it, like you just watch yourself do it and you're like, oh, whoa. Like, I didn't even know I was capable of doing that. But you have to like actually take a leap. I am writing a book kind of about this, about breakthrough, which I found out is like either was kind of one in my gene keys as well. So like, I mean, you really can, who you've always known you are is who you are. Yeah. Like, and nobody else is you. Like, even if someone else has the same gift as you, nobody has the same combination. Mm-hmm. And no one ever will.
Thank you for sharing that that personal share. Mm-hmm. And yes, I mean, clearly the authority part, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I reached out to you. I'm like, can you speak about gene keys as an authority on gene keys on my podcast? Right there, validation. Right. For any women who are new to the gene keys, like where would you recommend they start like on their journey? Are there any resources or practices that you recommend for beginners?
Yes. Oh, and I wanted to mention too, like both human design and gene keys are based on the I Ching, which are the, you know, those numbers. So you might, in human design, they're called gates. And in gene keys, they're keys. So
where would I just had a podcast a few weeks ago about human design. So this will be great for people to kind of see that relationship to each other.
Yes. Well, and that's what I recommend doing, is looking at it from a lot of angles. So looking up the numbers, you can do like, you know, so my main one is gate 21. So I would like, I looked it up from a lot of different bloggers, and I looked it up from both the Gene Keys and human design perspectives to get like, to really get it, because words can only do so much, right? And so I wanted to like really get it. And especially again, with the whole, if something isn't landing, like keep searching, keep talking to people so you can, because I, at first I didn't understand the word provocation in Gene Keys. So, but you can start on genekeys.com. There's a free profile, and then there's also a free course for an introduction. And then you can on Spotify, or you can buy the Gene Keys book, but you can listen on Spotify if you have a premium membership. You can listen. And I also started listening to a book on I Ching, which is beautiful as well. So just definitely go from a lot of angles to find what resonates, and start with my life's work or life's purpose, like the top one. It's the same as your best, highest gift in human design. So it's like, they're very similar.
Any last insights that you'd like to offer anyone who is embarking on their journey of self-discovery and wanting to like use like the Gene Keys as a modality or a lens?
I guess I would just say, like, trust your intuition around the process. Like I was saying, like at one point when I first saw my profile, it resonated with me, but I didn't check it again for like a year, because I just was like, but it stayed with me. And so I think I would just really encourage you to trust yourself and give yourself time and space to let the wisdom kind of work on you. And it's endless, honestly. It's like how you read a book, a classic book, and it'll hit you different every time. It's the same way. It's like, there's no end to it. It's just a process to engage in. And notice where it helps you. Notice where it's like maybe making you feel bad about yourself, because that's not the goal. And maybe do some journaling around it to just... because whenever something feels bad, it's a dense emotion. And dense emotions are not better or worse. They just, there's more to them. So that's why we, you know, write, to like loosen that energy and get it out. And then once you process, clarity is on the other side. Insight is on the other side. And again, like if it's really dense, like I really encourage you to work with a professional who has training in emotional rhythms and processes and can be there as a personal guide. So, yeah.
I really appreciate that visual of, it's not that it's bad, but that emotion is just, it's dense. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm like, oh yeah, that's like a great visual that like, you just need to like the term of like working through it, but it's like, yeah, just literally working through the layers of it to find the clarity that's on the other side. And it's not a negative thing. It's just a dense thing. Thanks for sharing that. I'm like, oh, that was a good little nugget.
Big thing for me to learn, because I was getting stuck a lot, but like, I don't know how much of your audience identifies as like highly sensitive, but that I know a lot of women do. Mm-hmm. And one thing I heard about that was like, it's not that you don't get to have the same life that other people do. It's just that you might need to go a little slower.
Yeah, I'm sure listeners resonate with that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, Catherine, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and insights on the Gene Keys with myself, with our listeners today. Like your passion really shines through, and your so thank you. I really, really appreciate you being here. And to all of our listeners, where can we find more Catherine if we want to get in contact with you?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram as Catherine Marie Mason. I just started a
business, which is Ivy Astro. So that's also on Instagram, but you can message me on Instagram. And I also have like a Calendly if you want to meet specifically. So that's like calendly.com/Catherine M. Mason. So
wonderful. I'll make sure that those are all in the show notes. So listeners, you can just check out the show notes for those links as well. And to our listeners, remember that the power to unlock your fullest potential really lies within yourself. Until next time, keep shining your light.